Hello and welcome to The Walk, a podcast where we discuss parenting and what the Bible says about it. God's Word contains truth, encouragement, and application, which we want to share with you, the mom or dad journeying through the chaos of raising kids. From the newborn to the rebellious teenager, our mission is to provide you with hope and skills that allows you to be the parent God calls you to be. We are your hosts, Tony and Laura Smith. Thank you for joining us today for our fifth and final episode on family worship.
I can't believe how fast this series has gone. It's really flown by as we've taken week by week to discuss different ways that we can apply God's truth through this section.
It's been a fun ride.
Yeah.
Yes. Yep. And as we close, our last verse for the family worship series is Deuteronomy 6, verse 9. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates.
It's such a practical verse. So practical. We could take it literally, but we're going to kind of expand on that today a little bit. So one of the practical ways we do it is that we have verses written all over the house. A gal that I once did a Bible study with said she laminates verses and then she puts them in the shower and then she can practice verses while she's showering.
Yeah, and that's just a simple way you could practice memorizing your verses.
We feel like it's really important to have scripture all over your house to reorient you to God's truth and help you throughout the day to walk in his light.
Which kind of lines up with Psalm 119:11, and this is the old school King James Version, but it says, "Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you."
Reorienting throughout the day is like key. Like as a mom, I find myself needing that truth to get through tough moments in parenting and overcome stressors. And it's like if I am dwelling on God's word, it makes such a big difference in how I react to situations.
And it makes a difference for dads too.
Yeah.
So just as a parent, reorienting your life with God's word makes a huge difference in your actions and the things that you say and your thoughts. But in regards to having God's word on our gates, so looking at the verse, we have gates that surround our backyard. But instead of just taking it like literally, the bigger picture is that when people enter our space or our property, are we being imitators for Christ?
We as a family really want to take Ephesians 5, 1 and 2 literally. It says, "Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God." Ephesians 5 has a ton of details on how to be imitators of Christ, but when people enter the Smith family space, is that what they see? Because that's what we hope that they see.
Yeah, so when it comes down to family worship, how are we following Christ's example so our kids can see it?
And then we just want to kind of fill in, like, how can you do this as parents, too? It's not just about Tony and Laura, but we want to really give you guys practical applications about how you can take hold of God's truth and put it to work in your own homes.
So in the context, the Jews took this verse literally, similar to how Jewish culture observed verse 8, which was discussed from the previous episode. But the mezuzah is a little scroll that has two sections of verses, Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9, and Deuteronomy 11, 13 through 21. And these scrolls are placed in the door frames of Jewish homes as a reminder that homes are a holy place.
They're not just found on the outer doors of Jewish homes, but from what we were reading, they're all on the interior doors, except, of course, the bathroom, which is kind of funny to us because we think the bathroom's a great place to have verses.
Yes, we do. But imagine having scrolls of verses on every doorframe in your house. And how many places would that be? And having these constant reminders of God's word all throughout your home. So when we think about having an importance of God's word in our home, I think about just having a Bible to go to, not necessarily having verses all over.
Well, I was just going to say, having verses throughout our home, we can really go about our day, but still be meditating on God's word. And there's a constant reminder in front of us. Like, Tony likes to get up really early in the morning, whether he's working that day or not, because that's the time that he can have his quiet time with the Lord. And I love sleep. I love sleep. So I don't get up early and have my God time. I'll do it throughout the day. But having verses around the house helps me to dwell on God's word until I get to that point where I'm like, okay, I'm going to have my God time now. So it's just super helpful in our home.
And it's also beneficial for our kids because they see it all the time. And especially if you have kids that can read. So at our point, or at our stage in life, our kids cannot read yet. But we want our daughters to see the verses all over our home so that they know that there's an importance on God's truth. It's one thing seeing us have time in the Word, but it's another seeing us putting sticky notes around our house with verses that they're memorizing, and that sets an example in our home.
There's a sense of calm and definite power in reading God's Word throughout our home, not just for us, but we think for the people that come into our home too.
Yeah, when people come over, they might have not even read the Bible that day or ever, and they're reading a verse everywhere that they go. In every room. They go to the bathroom, there's a verse. The kitchen, there's a verse. The living room, there's a verse.
So I participate in a group called BSF. It's short for Bible Study Fellowship, once a week. It's an international program that helps provide structure for diving deeper into God's Word. If you're interested, you should totally check out their website and get into a group. The website's bsfinternational.org. Just a little shameless plug here. Nevertheless, we're studying the book of Matthew right now. And just finished a section in Matthew 14 where Peter walks on the water and he sinks along the way. But then Jesus calms the storm. This is the first time that Jesus' disciples acknowledge that he is the Son of God, which is a huge deal. In our own lives, we can have that overwhelming peace too, even in the middle of storms and chaos, when we step back and realize who we are following. It's not just some cool dude named Jesus. It's the Son of God.
Being able to impact others just by placing verses in our house is really neat to share about the one that we follow. One of the verses that we have standing in our dining area is Joshua 24:15. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So when people walk into our house, the first verse that they see is that one. And they know what our house stands for. And serving God in our home is definitely a discipline to be practiced, especially since we have kids. But how do we serve God in our house as a married couple, as a mom and dad, as hosts to company that are good friends or non-believers?
We just want to put a definition on family worship or family devotions. It's this concept of getting together with a family member or your family members habitually. It's like a regular thing that you guys do to share and discuss the importance of biblical values and faith.
Yeah, and that can be singing, praying, reading the Bible, discussing a biblical topic. But how you conduct family worship and how often you do family worship really depends on your family dynamic. Over the course of this series, we've talked a little bit about how we do family worship, but it's different for every family. It's different for every age group and how many kids you have. And you do what you think is appropriate. There's all these different factors. There's no one right way to do family worship. But coming back to the definition, it's this consistent habit of togetherness within a family, focusing on the importance of biblical values and truth.
Our biggest encouragement, because we know that this topic is huge. It's not like we started with a bomb here, but our biggest encouragement is that you take ownership over family worship and find a way to conduct family worship in your home together consistently.
Yep, and it keeps us accountable to God's commands as parents, so that we're teaching our children his truths from a young age and helping them have a firm foundation in who God is.
But also, It's creating a safe space where your kids can express their doubts, concerns, questions, and where we as parents can point them back to the Bible and back to God.
And family worship also allows us to glorify God by fulfilling the Great Commission in our home. So in case you aren't familiar with the Great Commission, it's a command that Jesus gave his disciples that carries on to us as his followers from Matthew 28 that says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age."
This is your home. It's such a comfortable area to start sharing the Great Commission because it's your home. It's with the people that you love the most. So after the break, we're going to dive into real life with the Smiths. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Real Life with the Smiths. This is a spot in our episode where we discuss what we do in our own home, and one of the things that we implement in our house are Bible verses written all over. Yes, sticky notes, posters, things hanging on the wall.
Sticky notes are probably one of my favorite ways to memorize Bible verses. I put them everywhere. Usually it's like the coffee pot or above the sink, on the bathroom mirror, on my nightstand. If you opened the front page of my Bible, there's sticky notes all over and pieces of paper shoved in my Bible. For being an organized person, it looks pretty scary.
One of the things that I've done, and we've kind of done this a little bit, but I was...
You take leadership over this.
Yeah,
sure.
I was a little bit more intentional. So I walked the girls around our house and showed them all of the places God's word can be found in our house. And we have some on our Keurig, like Laura was saying, our coffee pot, bookshelves, walls, bedrooms, mirrors, picture frames. They're kind of all over the place. But our girls can't read yet, so they're unable to read what they say wherever they go. But I showed them each where all of the verses are at, and I told them, whenever you want me to read them to you, let me know and I will. So they know where all of these verses are at, and all they have to do is ask us to read what it says. And at times, they've asked me to go and read a verse that's hanging around the house so that they know what it says.
Sometimes I like to do something that's a little more nature-based. And it probably has to do with how I was raised. Seeing God in nature was something my parents did a really good job of pointing out. But when I see a beautiful sunrise filled with brilliant colors or a unique moon or a variety of flowers, I take the opportunity to talk about how creative God is and how much he must love diversity and how much he loves us to make all these things for our enjoyment. It's an awesome time to slide in a Bible verse about the character of God or verse that glorifies who he is. There's really all these moments around us that if we are looking for them, they are all throughout the day.
We would encourage you to make family worship your own. How is it unique to your family? Whether you have 2 kids or no kids or 10 kids, whether you are newly married or have been married for 20 years, make it your own. So we want to give you a little bit of walking wisdom. So we started this series with something similar, but we want you to just start. Find a time in your day to sit down with your family and get into the Bible or sing a praise song or pray together. Getting started is the hardest part, but so is being consistent.
Yeah, we just had to set an alarm on our phone literally this morning, which is something that we stole from my grandparents that they do in their home. But that way it helps us with the consistency in our family time with the Lord. But you really have to find what works for your own family and pursue God together.
And as we close this series, we wanted to let you know that beginning next week, we will be starting a series on newborns.
Woo-hoo.
So we hope you'll join us.
The dreaded newborn stage.
We hope you'll join us for discovering God's truth about the crazy stage in life with all of the ups, downs, victories, and defeats, joys, and heartaches that come with expecting a baby and welcoming them into the world.
That's all for today. Items, links, and show notes can be found in the description of wherever you listen to podcasts. Be sure to subscribe to our show, and we'll send you a list of our top three parenting books for 2022. We want to say thank you to Pixie Bay Music and all of you that are listening to our podcast. We appreciate your support, and thanks again, guys. This is The Walk. Okay. What do you want to tell them?
Thank you for loving me.
And thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening.
See you next time.
See you next time.
Bye.
Bye.